We are joined now by former NHLer, did spend some time with the Edmonton Oilers, also wrote a very honest and I think at times a tough read for a lot of people, but when it's a tough read, that means it's getting your emotions, breaking away. The author of that book, former NHLer Patrick O'Sullivan, who is in Leduc for Bullion Week, joins us now. Patrick, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I appreciate it. Well, I want to get to the book in a second, but I want to talk about how you're in Leduc this weekend, or this week, I should say, and you're going to be talking to kids of all ages about Bullion Week, because you obviously, you know, had it from a parent, which is one thing, but even, you know, from a lot of people in the hockey community throughout who maybe didn't even know what was going on with you, but there was still bullying. Kind of, what's your message to kids, and does it vary depending on the age of the kids you talk to?
Yeah, well, it definitely varies depending on the age of the kids. And, you know, a lot of the kids that I'm going to be talking to, I did a couple today and have a few more tomorrow with the school kids. You know, a lot of them don't play hockey. So you kind of have to, you know, form your message and, you know, hit the points that they can all understand, not necessarily, you know, relating it directly to hockey, but, you know, just like my book and my story, you could substitute anything else in for hockey and, you know, the problems would remain the same. So that's really, you know, what I try to express to the kids and the parents. I'm leaving in a little bit to go talk to some parents and talk to them about, you know, trying to survive, so to speak, being a sports parent and what to do and what not to do and things of that nature. So I'm enjoying the nice weather here in Edmonton. It was quite the shock even to get off the plane last night and to feel how warm it is.
Yeah, well, you being here in the season, yeah, trust me, this has been the best winter I can ever recall. It's been fantastic. Now, your father, of course, was the extreme sports parent, no doubt. Took it to a level that, you know, some unfortunately do, but not many. But there are parents who take it to different levels verbally a lot of the time, you know, chastising their kids and stuff, and maybe, you know, getting too wrapped up in the game. Is that the biggest thing, that not only just from your own personal experience with your father, but maybe even watching other kids, is how parents at times, they just get too wrapped up emotionally in their kids' games? Is that the biggest issue most parents do, maybe without even knowing it?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of parents become so vested financially and time-wise into their kids that they become to believe that there's a certain expectation that they want from their child, and they start to live a little bit through their kids. And, you know, when you combine all that stuff, it's a, you know, kind of a recipe for a lot of problems. And the thing I try to tell people with kids in competitive sports, or really anything that's competitive, is, you know, they're going to become as good as they want to be, or as good as they're capable of, but that's got to come from them. You know, you can't, the best players in the National Hockey League are there because they have, and they had, a passion for the game that other people didn't have. That wasn't taught to them. That wasn't, you know, that wasn't ingrained in them by taking them to the extra power skating class a week or any of that stuff. The guys that are elite, or anybody really that makes it to the NHL, because let's face it, it's, the odds are absurd, really. You know, they're there because they love the game and they put the time in that other kids weren't willing to put in. It's got nothing to do with their parents. Obviously, you need support, and you need you know, parents that are going to be able to take you to the games and the practices. But really, outside of that, you know, you can teach your kids a little bit about the game, but they're going to figure all of that out on their own. And, you know, parents really think, a lot of them, unfortunately, think that they're going to be the difference maker in how far their kid goes in hockey, and that's just not the case.
Patrick O'Sullivan joins us, former NHLer, author of Breaking Away. He's in Leduc this week for Bullion Week, which is something that now is at a different level because of cyberbullying, for sure. You know, people can remain anonymous and say things to people, and that especially, I'm sure, at teenager years, it impacts them. But I want to go to your experience, Patrick, and how different the reaction has been from maybe just the hockey community overall before your book came out, because people had known about this, of course, you know, at the draft, and, you know, you had the restraining order with your father. But I'm guessing people probably never thought it was as bad until they read the book. And you even said, I read one of your interviews after, you said, well, that was even kind of the PG version a little bit. You left out a lot of things. How different have people reacted to you since you really, you know, laid out the exact story that unfolded for you? Has it been maybe different than you expected? Has there been a lot of people that apologize to say, wow, I never knew it was like that?
Yeah, there's really been kind of two defined groups as far as people that knew me, you know, when I was a kid and growing up, and even within the game, even when I turned professional and playing in the NHL. You know, there's a group of people that, certainly when I was a kid, that, you know, they feel remorseful, wish they would have done something or done a little more, because, like you said, there was a lot of people that had an idea about what was going on, but, you know, I was such a good player that, you know, they couldn't possibly believe it was anywhere close to the level that it was. And honestly, that's the case a lot of times with kids that are good. In a way, it's their own worst enemy. People just can't believe that, you know, a kid could be that good despite what's going on. And that kind of touches back on my point as far as, you know, how important the parent is in the kid's success. It honestly doesn't really matter that much. And I'm an example of that. I mean, I would have been drastically better if I would have had just a normal parent who drove me to the rink. So, you know, and then the other group of people are the people that choose to not acknowledge really anything at all. I spoke to a lot of these people for my book, some of them in person, and people said that, you know, they thought what my dad was doing was helping me, and there's people out there that believe that what he did was the reason I got to the NHL. So it's really both sides, and it's, you know, unfortunately, there is a small group of people that I think truly believe that it's none of anyone else's business how somebody treats their kid, and specifically in hockey. Society, I think, as a whole, has kind of come around to the whole mental health thing and how important that is for somebody to be happy and to be productive at whatever it is that they're doing. But in hockey, it's still, you know, the culture is shut up and play, and, you know, this, the whole, you're supposed to be tough and all that stuff. And that's really, that's a big issue in the NHL for sure. And that really needs to change.
Patrick O'Sullivan joins us, former NHLer, author of the great book Breaking Away, talking about the abuse he suffered at the hands of his own father and how he finally was able to break away from that. And you know, you talked about the scene where, you know, you got in a fist fight with your own father on the street when you were 16 years of age, when you kind of said enough's enough. And at that, how important was that for you, Pat? Like, I don't know if one instance can give you a clarity at all, because I've never been in that situation, but how empowering was that moment for you?
Well, for me, there's two points in my life that have been very defining for me and kind of who I am as a person and who I'm going to be moving forward. And the first one is that specific incident you just referenced. You know, I had, by the age of 12 years old, I knew what was going on with me was not normal. Unfortunately, my mother was there for 99% of it, so I had the belief that adults necessarily weren't going to help me. And, you know, I didn't know for sure that anything would change if I went to a teacher or a coach, and certainly my mother was there and wasn't doing anything about it, so I decided to wait till I was physically capable of, you know, to put it bluntly, potentially having to fight for my life. And that's what I was ready for that night. And I don't think my dad was, which is why everything played out the way that it did. And I got the police involved, and that kind of, you know, ended that chapter, at least the, you know, the abuse, the actual abuse, that part was over. But, you know, the older I got, the more I started to see and understand how, all the issues that I had because of how I grew up and how negatively it was affecting me, really, in my career and my personal life and all of that. And really the second thing, that defining moment for me, was finally, you know, understanding what I needed to do to get the help that I needed. And the first thing on that list was getting out of hockey, you know, separating myself completely from the game and, you know, trying to find the help and the therapy that I needed to kind of get my life back. Because it's hard when you're a pro athlete and you have anything really that you could want or what other people think you would want. You know, I had money. I had a job that people would kill for. I had a family. I had a wife and kids that loved me. And none of that stuff was making me happy, or it wasn't fulfilling my life. And so when you get to that point, you realize that something's got to change, and that's what I did. And I did the, you know, the necessary, I put the time and money into my own well-being. And it's really been like a two-year process, and doing my book was a big part of that. And I'm certainly a lot happier now. I'm more happy now than I ever have been.
Well, they always say that, you know, when you finally get it out there, that's probably a big relief. I'm sure there are some stories in that book that, you know, maybe outside of your wife and a few other close members, you'd never discussed. Was that just therapy in a strange way for you, Patrick, to get it all out there and say, hey, you know what, I'm proud of who I am. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's hundreds of things that aren't in the book that I've told, you know, to therapists and things like that. But, you know, those things don't leave that room. Those are very helpful for me, and it's an experience that, for me at least, was 100% necessary. I never would have been able to get, you know, over a lot of different things if I didn't do that. But when you decide to do a book and kind of put the whole thing out there for people to read and talk about, and I knew I would have to do a lot of interviews and everything else. Yeah, I mean, it was something that was difficult at times, but for the most part, very therapeutic and a very positive experience. And now I get to do what I'm doing here, and that's try to help other people. And I think somebody needed to step up and I guess share their own difficulties in hopes of helping others, because it, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, but I feel for whatever reason I'm able to share that. You know, I can talk about anything that happened to me and it doesn't ruin my day. And so I just kind of felt, and that's why I did the book. I didn't need to do the book for any reason. Selfishly, I didn't need to do that, but I felt like it was important to spread the message, because there's so many kids out there, and it's happening right now, where they don't have an out. They don't have the ability to change their own circumstances. So it's the people surrounding those kids, the other adults, the other kids, the other parents and coaches and teachers. It's their responsibility to be more vigilant and aware that this stuff goes on, because a lot of people don't even know it happened. And that's a good thing, because they're not experiencing it, and you know, that's great, but they need to know that there are other people, and that's kind of what I do now. I go and I try to educate and explain to people, you know, what the possibilities are and what to do if you see something, and certainly do anything. Pretending that it's going to go away doesn't work, and, you know, the things that kids experience, the trauma that they experience, it's a lifelong punishment, and it doesn't go away when they turn 18 and go to school. It doesn't go away when they get their first job. It doesn't go away when they move out of the house. It's something that is a lifelong punishment, really. And it's most people that grew up the way I did don't live a happy life. They have a lot of issues. And I just hope I can kind of start to change the percentage of that happens, specifically with hockey, and also try to help with the culture and the mental health stuff, you know, that exists in the NHL.
Patrick O'Sullivan, former NHLer, joins us, author of Breaking Away. He is in Leduc for the next few days. It's Bullying Week. Also, you have a book signing tomorrow, correct?
Yes, yes, I do, at the LaDuke Public Library. And also tomorrow night I'm going to be helping out with some of the AAA teams here. So if there's people that just want to come and get the book signed or whatever, or say hi, that's also a place they can come at the Sobeys Arena, I think, okay. 7 to 8 p.m. around that time.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, what people can do. And I think a lot of times, a lot of people are scared that, well, geez, I don't want to look like a busybody. I don't want to make a false accusation. But I guess trusting your gut's number one. But do you have any tips for any parents or coaches out there if they sense that maybe one of their kids is, being abused at home by one of their parents or, has an overbearing parent? Any tips on the best way to go about addressing it?
Yeah, well, first of all, just pay attention to the kids and the patterns of behavior. In minor hockey, you're seeing the kids and the parents anywhere from probably 5 to 7 days a week. So you're around those people quite a bit, and you can see the writing is there. You just have to sometimes look a little bit closely. And, the obvious targets are the people that are behaving in a way in the arena that is, obviously inappropriate. And you can bet whatever you'd like that if something like that is going on in public, it's significantly worse at home. So, the best thing to do is to just tell the police. We're at the point now where it's not like the old days. Like back when I was a kid, the police come knock on the door, they take a look inside and they see that nothing's going on, they turn around and walk away. Now, there's reports filed, social services get involved, and, it's really that simple. And to be honest, the best case scenario is that you're wrong and, nothing is going on that's serious. And that means that the kid is safe. And at the end of the day, that's really what matters. And if you want to be responsible and if you want to be somebody that, cares for something other than what's going on in their own house, I think, there's a lot of kids out there that would really appreciate the, the eyes and ears of the other parents around.
One last one for you, Patrick. Do you like the game of hockey still? Have you talked about how you had to leave the game to get complete, closure for you and take that next step? Are you at the point now, can you enjoy hockey?
Yeah, I love hockey.
Okay.
I always have. That's what got me through my childhood. I love the game more than I hated what was happening to me. Now, I saw the wrong end of the business side of it, which a lot of guys do, but when you combine that with all the other stuff that I had going on in my head, it got to the point where I hated it. I despised it and everything kind of that went along with it. But, being a couple years out now from playing and, I still watch it on TV and I'm starting to, do some work on the radio with some different stations in Toronto and possibly looking to get back into it, whether it's scouting or anything like that. So it's a game I always love. I have no interest whatsoever in playing the game. Like, people ask me, do I go play hockey for fun with buddies or anything like that? The answer to that would be absolutely not. But, I love the game. It's the best game in the world, certainly the most fun to watch in person. And like I said, I'll always love the game. It really probably kept me alive, to be honest. So everything good I have in my life came through hockey, and also a lot of negativity. So it's always been back and forth. But, at the end of the day, it's something that I'll always enjoy, and I'll always, be involved with it one way or another.
Now, if your kids came to you and said, Dad, I want to play, would you want to coach them?
Well, we're kind of getting to that point now. My kids are both old enough where, they're skating and they, they definitely understand what I used to do. And I think there's a little bit of interest in it. Living in Florida now, it's a little different. There's not a lot there hockey-wise for kids. But, yeah, I think I'd prefer, if they were going to play, I'd probably prefer someone else to coach them. But,
okay.
If the situation was one where, I needed to do it and it was going to be the best thing for them and the other kids, I would have no issue doing that. I certainly have no concerns about, you know, how I would behave, you know, with my kids in sports. I'm going to let them do whatever it is that they want, and I'll be there to watch. And, you know, one of the things I tell people about taking their kid to the rink and how to behave and what to do is, if you really want to make your kid feel good, you can thank them for letting you watch them play or practice. And if you're looking for your kid to, you know, to give more effort or anything else like that, comments along those lines go a lot further than, you know, you're not working hard enough or, you know, you should have done this or that on the power play and anything else. You know, kids understand the mistakes they make. They don't need their parents in the car, the entire car ride at home, telling them everything they did wrong. So, yeah, we'll see with my own. I personally hope they play something where I don't have to stand in a cold arena at 6 in the morning, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Patrick, a heartfelt thank you. I read your book, and honestly, I did not know about the, you know, I heard some stuff, of course, for my job, but I never imagined it would be like that. And then when I read afterwards that that was the PG version, I was floored even more. It takes a lot of courage to do it, and I think you've opened the eyes to a lot of people, and I'm sure given a lot of kids who are going through the same thing a glimmer of hope that they can get through it. So kudos to you. Enjoy the kids in Leduc, and of course, people can see your book signing at 3 p.m. at the Leduc Public Library tomorrow or tomorrow night, 7 to 8 p.m. at Sobeys Arena. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jason. Anytime.